Welcome, everyone, to We Have Issues, our weekly comic book podcast that opens the vault, feels the boom, weathers the aftershock, and marvels at every issue released this week. I'm your host, Keith, and I'm here to talk to you about all your favorite issues and publishers, but first, a bit of comic book news. We're going to start with a little bit of sad news, unfortunately. Comic creator Steve Irwin has passed away at the age of 63. Steve is probably best known as one of the creators of Checkmate for DC, as well as giving Deathstroke his first like ongoing comic book series with Marv Wolfman. And yeah, that's really sad. You know, I always liked Checkmate. I always thought it was a fun, interesting angle into the DC universe. And of course, Deathstroke is, you know, legendary, says enough. So fortunately, he has passed away. So I wanted to get that out of the way so we can get to a little bit brighter news first. This one's important to me. Archie Comics has announced a 60th anniversary Josie and the Pussycats celebration. Yes, Josie and the Pussycats is 60 years old. I love Josie and the Pussycats. It's fantastic. So they're going to be doing a special called Josie and the Pussycats Anniversary Spectacular, in which the Pussycats go to space and perform a concert. So really cool. It's also going to reprint the very first appearance of the character of Josie. So yeah, I think that's really awesome. I'll probably be picking that up, and I don't buy a lot of Archie books these days, so pretty cool. After that, Image has released previews of two new series. One that is going to be called The One Hand, which is going to be written by Rom V, with art by Lawrence Campbell and colors by Lee Luffridge, which seems to be like a neo-novena detective, which looks really, really cool. And the other one is called The Six Fingers, which is going to be written by Dan Waters and art by Sumit Kumar with colors by Lee Luffridge. This one is an archaeology student who commits a murder, and then everything kind of spirals from there. So they look really cool. I like the previews of it. So really, really interesting. And yeah, I'm very curious to see what we're going to get from them. So pretty cool. Last bit of indie news. Oni Press has announced and given a preview of a coming-of-age graphic novel coming out next summer called Eat Your Heart Out. I love Oni Press's like coming-of-age stuff. I think they do it better than anybody in the industry. And this one looks really, really great. There is a preview on CBR.com if you want to check it out. It's going to be coming from Terry Bloss, who I adore, Maddie Newton, Lydia Anslow, and Claudia Aguirre. So check that out and keep an eye out for it next summer. One bit of DC news, and very, very happy DC news for me, is that Nicole Maines, the star of Supergirl, one of the co-stars of Supergirl who played Dreamer on there, has been writing the character Dreamer for DC Comics for a little while now. And now it has been announced that there will be a graphic novel called Bad Dream, a Dreamer Story, which will once again be written by Nicole Maines. Very, very cool. It also does seem like it's going to tie in to Galaxy the Prettiest Star, which is really interesting. I think that's an amazing idea. Art is going to be by Rye Hickman. So I have a date on that as April of next year, and I am definitely picking that one up. So look forward to a review on the show. Two bits of Marvel news. So Marvel's bringing back the Sentry. Sentry is one of those characters I never really clicked with. I get him, but I just don't like that kind of character. But they are going to be bringing him back, and it is going to be handled by Jason Liu and Luigi Zagaria. There's going to be various variant covers, of course. And yeah, it's really interesting because they are, you know, solidifying, yes, the Bob Reynolds Sentry is dead. This is other people in this world getting the Sentry powers, and what do they do with it? I think that's a cool concept. I think there's a lot of things you can do with that. Yeah. I'm not sure. Like, it just depends on how deep they want to go to it, because the Sentry is a universe-changing character, so we'll see. And finally, Marvel's new Ultimate Spider-Man will feature a married Peter Parker and Mary Jane with kids. We did find this out. I'm so excited for this book now. Hickman and Chichetto, being the two on the book, are going to be so great telling this story, and just, it's going to be great, and I want to see what we're going to do here, and I'm just happy to have a married Peter Parker back, a family man, Peter Parker. It's kind of like I got used to it for a while there, so I'm glad that it's back. And that should be it, I believe, for all of my news. So we're going to jump into some comics because we have a lot this week. And as always, when we start with comics, we don't start with a bang. We start with a boom. Boom Studios. First boom book of the week is Alice Never After, number 4. As always, written by Dan Panosian, illustrations by Dan Panosian and Giorgio Spoletta, with assistance by Cyril Glarum, color by Francisco Segala, with color assistance by Gloria Martinelli, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. This is continuing the epic saga of Alice in Wonderland attempting to find a king and insisting on using the White Rabbit only. And he just keeps trying to get away from her the entire time. And what on the real life, her family's dealing with her pregnancy and what's going to happen there. There's some really interesting imagery and like storytelling in this one, specifically in Wonderland when she eats too much and gets bloated. And it's very much like a pregnancy thing. Very cool. I'm so interested to see how this ends because of how the first volume ended. I want to see, like, is it going to be similarly kind of like bittersweet, or what is it going to be? I'm just excited. Whatever. I'm very excited, and I will definitely be here for the finale. And if it goes into another volume, I'll be there for that. Next book is The Expanse Dragon Tooth, number 6 of 12. I love this book. I love The Expanse. It's like my favorite fandom. I recommend it for everybody. Written by Andy Niggle, illustrated by Francisco Pisa, colored by Raul Angulo, and letter by Pat Brosseau. So with the big revelation of the death at the end of the last issue, we get the murder investigation. We get to see Bobby doing the investigation her way. I love it. And everybody just kind of working together to do it. And we get to get some really great Naomi and Amos moments, which is one of my favorite dynamics in the show and the books, is Naomi and Amos. It's just really interesting. So we get to see a bit of that here too. And a little bit of a spooky mystery, maybe. And knowing the entire, like, the run of the books and everything that happened, I'm very curious to see what they might be teasing here, is what I'll say. So very, very good. And I cannot wait for my hardcover that I got from the Kickstarter. And yeah, very excited for that. After that is Something is Killing the Children, number 34. Oh man, what a book. Okay. So we'll start with the creative team as always, of course. Written by James Tynion IV, illustrated by Werther de la Dera, colored by Mikhail Muerto, and letter by Ann World Design. Erica is doing this whole last stand thing, and she's setting up a defense, and again, she's having to worry about the monster, but also Cutter, so she's like trying to fight on two fronts, and she just can't quite manage it, you know, like it's not something that's really doable by one person, even as badass as she is. But we do get to see Erica in some amazing moments on horseback, with bow and arrow just being awesome and amazing. The imagery is really, really, really cool. But we are left off in a pretty shocking moment that I'm not going to spoil, that, oh man, where are we going from here? Oh, yeah, just an amazing book. You guys don't need me to recommend it, you know. So, yeah. Last book of Boom is Once Upon a Time at the End of the World, number 10, written by Jason Aaron, illustrated by Leila Del Duca, colored by Tamara Bonvillain, and colored by Rico Renzi as well, with additional illustration by Nick Dragota and letter by And World Design. It's the end of paradise. It's what happens. This little community they built, what causes it to fall apart? And it's just really, really sad. I mean, you get to witness the end of it, and you know, we get to kind of like, we get one step closer to that distant future we saw where they're at each other's throats. And it's really sad, unfortunately. It's really, like, unfortunate. But, man, this book has been really, really good. And this issue is no exception. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was just, again, bittersweet, but so well told. I cannot recommend this book enough to people out there. There's so much heart and there's so much humor, but there's also dread and a little bit of terror and nagging feeling inside you. It's so good. I can't describe it. You just have to pick it up for yourself. Once Upon a Time at the End of the World. That brings me to my next publisher, Dynamite Comics. 3 Dynamite books this week. First of all, Gargoyles, number 10, written by Greg Wiseman, illustrated by George Kambadeas, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. I really liked this issue. It was told from the point of view of Katana, but it was kind of light on the touch with her as opposed to the other point of view characters, because the real story, of course, is the trial of Goliath, and we get to see the finale of it, which is really, really great. And we get to see Eliza's testimony with Goliath, and it was really sweet. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was really well done. And in the end, again, we get the verdict, and I'm not going to tell you what happens. It's really good. You should read it yourself, but there's definitely something more going on. That's why I'm not going to tell you, because there's a really, really great story going there, and you should definitely be reading yourself. But again, Gargoyles has been really, really great, and it's something that everybody should be reading. So good job. After that is Disney Villains Hades, number 3, written by Elliot Kalan, art by Alessandro Rinaldi, color by Derba Kelly, letter by Jeff Eckelberry. So, yeah, we get to see Hades and Jason basically go head to head in their own way. Of course, Hades, you know, is the smarter one and tries to do the smart way. But there's a lot of wacky shenanigans, and it's just great. All these different, like, sides of the conflict come together to cause this just jambalaya of chaos, and it's fantastic. And yeah, it ends off on a big high note with a big fight going on, so that'll be resolved next issue. But very good. I've been loving Hades. I like his little crew that he gathered around him. Very fun. And finally, Negaduck number 2 from Dynamite, written by Jeff Parker, art by Ciro Cangialosi, and letter by Jeff Eckelberry. This is Negaduck, of course, trying to get the hand of Midas so he can turn things to gold. And in the process, he realizes he needs to work with Morgana, who hates him. And basically, he disguises himself as Darkwing Duck, as he does. And shenanigans ensue. We also get a lot more of the other villains popping up in this story, seeming like they're going to be involved, which is a lot of fun. I think that's cool. So, great run. I mean, I love Darkwing Duck. It was my favorite cartoon for a very long time when I was younger. And I distinctly remember, just a quick personal story, going to Disney World with producer Liz, and our only goal was to get every Darkwing Duck thing we could find. And we found a pin, and that was it. It was really sad. There should be more Darkwing Duck merchandise, just throwing that out there in case anyone's curious. So, all right. So I believe that's going to wrap up my Dynamites. I have lots of single shot series, so let's talk about my next publisher first, which is Titan Comics. My only Titan book this week is Conan the Barbarian number 4. This one, of course, is written by Jim Zub, drawn by Rob Delatorre, color by Dean White, and letter by Richard Starkings. In the last issue, we saw Conan descend into the perilous depths of this magical river, and we get to see him kind of fight his way out of it. He gets to see some revelations, get some information. Very, very cool. Very mystic quest. I love it. It's really, really great. There's also an amazing 2-page spread of a battle he's told about that's just absolutely so cool that it's just amazing. Really, really great. This stuff has been fantastic. What a book. And everybody, just if you have any of a passing interest in Conan, this is a pickup. So recommend, big double thumbs up. All right, that's it for Titan. Let's talk about our next publisher in this case, which is Oni Press. My only Oni Press book this week is, this week is Rick and Morty Heart of Rickness number 4, The Finale, written by Michael Morici, illustrated by Priscilla Tramontano, ink by Austin Bacelli, color by Gabe Fisher, and flats by James Penafiel, and letter by Crank. So we get to see these two stories come together, of course. Especially like the whole like anti-technology versions of them, and then the real Summer Morty and Rick and everything, and of course the Jerry and Summer, or the Jerry and Beth thing, comes crashing at the last minute too, which is a lot of fun. Very good, like nice little 4-issue mini. I enjoyed it, but I've never not liked a Rick and Morty mini, so I mean they're all really good, but I enjoyed this one quite a bit, and yeah, a lot of fun. There is a Me Seeks book coming too. Just throwing that out there. I'm excited. So, all right. Next publisher is Ablaze Publishing. And I only got one book for Ablaze as well. That book is The Prism, number 1. This is by Matteo De Longis and letter by Officin Bolzoni. This is a really interesting, crazy story. It's got this like hard sci-fi edge to it where the world is also being destroyed and they need one last gasp of hope to save the world. But in this case, that gasp of hope is a band, and it's literally like making the band, but ridiculous. And I've really enjoyed it. It's very cool. It's very post-apocalyptic, but music. This is a Josue book, 100%. And I think he would really, really dig it. So I'm going to make sure he gets his eyes on it. But I like it. I like the visuals. It's a very visually beautiful book. And it's absolutely insane. I love the concept. It's just ridiculous. It doesn't need to be. There's also an amazing page with dialogue where two people are behind a fish tank. So it looks like the fish are talking. And like the fish body language is perfect for the conversation. I thought that was just really, really well done. Probably my highlight of the book was that. But overall, just amazing story. Really, really cool. Highest of high recommendations. And next, IDW Publishing is ready to go. My only IDW book this week is Bryn Mawr, number 4. And I'll be quick because I've been talking about this book quite a bit and it's not quite done yet. Written by Stephen Niles, art by Damian Worm, art assistance by Alizia Zerno, and letter by Taylor Esposito. So we start to see the monsters attacking the people of the island. And basically to solve this demonic infestation, if you will, they all have to work together to put together the seal that was keeping Bryn Mawr in. And it's like this, you know, all these rocks that he broke, so they had to put it together. It was really, really great. And they're able to do so and channel it and rechannel that energy. And now it seems like they're going to be able to try to reseal the island, maybe with a similar condition as it was before. I'm not sure. We'll see about that. But very cool. Lots of people just getting ganked in this book, which is really funny because like it's just the island's a bunch of assholes, and he'd like most of these people deserve this. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for them, but yeah. But really, really good. I really like it. And we do get a message at the end that is to be concluded. So yeah, we will see. Also, I have to give a shout out to the Casper Wingard cover. I want that cover. I could not find it. I want that so bad. But yeah. Next publisher is Dark Horse Comics, and I actually have two books from Dark Horse this week. First up, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Stranger Things. Or actually, no, wait, sorry. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Stranger Things, number 4, which is IDW and Dark Horse. So I put it right between them. Written by Karaman Shiddock, art by Fero P, colored by Sophie Dodgson, letter by Russ Wooten. Not going to go too much into it. It is the finale of the storyline. We get to see the heroes all work together and just have a really like fun. It's just been a fun run. I really enjoy it. Lots of little touches from each series, not just the main characters, but playing on the lore of each of them was really, really cool too. And I thought it was very fun. It also decidedly sets it at a specific time during the series of Stranger Things because it's before the mall is open. I thought that was an interesting choice. So, really, really cool. Definitely something I enjoyed. And the other book, which is fully Dark Horse, is from one of my favorite creative teams of all time, Drive Like Hell number 1. That's from written by Rich Duick, illustrated by Alex Cormick, and letter by Hassan Atsmani Alhau. A really great, promising story for a new run from this amazing duo between Rich and Alex. Just kicks out some amazing work. I really, really like it. And this one is, how do I put it? Basically, like if you have the perfect escape vehicle, but there's something supernatural about it. And it's really, really cool. I like it. It's a good concept. I want to see where it goes. Like I said, they've never done me wrong. And if you've been following our Halloween countdown, you know why. So, I'm in. Very, very good book. And I'm curious to see where it's going to go. So awesome. Which brings me to my next publisher, one book from Distillery. Very excited to talk about my first solo Distillery book. And that book is Gone by Jock, with colors by Lila Frege and Jock and letters by Ann World Design. Obviously, this is going to build off the other story that we got in the big compilation. I really like this one. I think the thing that jumps out at me about this one is the, like, it's a really cool world and the art is amazing, but I really like the protagonist. I really like her a lot. I just think that's such an interesting character and interesting scenario that they're put in, and the different angles of trouble coming at them, the different difficulties in their path. I think it'd make a really interesting story. Long story short, in an attempt to steal supplies in order to help their mother survive, they're on a ship when it takes off into space. And now they're having to hide in the ducts and steal to survive and just try their best to get home. But it's not just them against the soldiers. There's also these other people that also were with her when the attack or when they were trying to steal, but they ended up being terrorists, and so they don't like her either, but they sometimes it's just really interesting. She's balancing everything. So really good start for Distillery. I think it's probably a very, very smart launch title. I think it's really good. So Ness. Next up is Vault Comics. I got the one Vault book this week, and I am sad because it is Money Shot Comes Again, number 5, the finale of the season, and hopefully not the finale of the series, because I love this book. It's one of my favorites. Written by Tim Seeley, drawn by Giselle Lagasse, colored by Carlos Padilla-Z, and letter by Crank. It's a really good ending. I think it's probably the best place that our main cast has been in at the end of an arc. So that's why it kind of feels like a natural ending if it is. Again, I don't want it to be, but I could see it. Everybody's kind of in the best place they've been in, which is really, really cool. I really enjoy it. And again, I'm missing one of the connecting covers, so I need to hunt that down, but I got it this week. But it's been a blast. And again, I'm a huge fan of Money Shot. I've been a fan since the beginning. I think this is one of the best comics out there. It's funny. It's also just ludicrous. It's great. And I just have to give a shout out to Giselle Lagasse just being the perfect artist for this volume. I would not be opposed to Giselle coming back for another volume, or if they want to keep switching it up, I totally get it. But I'm a big fan of hers anyway. So excellently done. And yeah, I could not be happier. So great. Which brings us to the bigger publishers. Let's talk about Image Comic Books. And I got a couple. Let's get into it. First of all, I Hate Fairyland, number 10. This one is, of course, written by Scotty Young, drawn by Brett Bean, colored by Jean-Francois Ballou, and letters, logos, series design by Nate Picos of Blambot. This one is really interesting because they have to get the key, right? They have to get this key, and to get the key for Duncan Dragon, they have to get to Queen Claudia, who is in prison, as we know. So there's a fun story where basically Girk gets herself arrested and taken in there. Claudia agrees to help them, but I mean, obviously it's not going to go that easily. You have to know that, right? So obviously there's a betrayal, and it's very fun. And I'm very curious to see what we're going to do with the next issue, because we might be shifting away from Girk for a little while. That'd be kind of fun. I'd be okay with that. So very fun, very good book. And I recommend. Next up is Edenwood, number 1. And this book is so good. Story and art by Tony S. Daniel, colors by J. David Ramos, letters by Nathan Kempf. Where do I start? It's a unique new world. It's got a fantasy edge to it, but it is our future. It is our world. In kind of post-apocalyptic, I guess is the way to put it, because everything's not completely torn up. And you get to see little nods to our world, but there's also a lot of fantasy and a lot of country living, if you will. But it's all about this land and this struggle between it and this forest, and just these really cool characters and amazing, amazing character design. If you like what is most likely going to be a very awesome fantasy epic, that's exactly what this is going to be for you. It's going to have some cool ass deep lore It's going to have really interesting character dynamics. I really appreciate this so much. And the fact that I live like a few hours from where this apparently takes place is really, really cool. So I thoroughly enjoyed this. Highly recommend. It's immediately a sub for me. I'm immediately subbing this book because I enjoyed it that much. It's just so good. And again, if you're interested in fantasy anything, it should be on your list to at least check out, because I think you will really, really enjoy it. And there are several people I know I'm going to get to read this book because I think they'll dig it. So once again, that was Edenwood by Tony S. Daniel, number one from Image Comics. Next up is Void Rivals number 5. Now, I missed number 4, so I never did a review for it, but I was able to obtain a copy, and so I'm caught up. Written by Robert Kirkman, art by Lorenzo De Felici, color by Patricio Del Pech, and letter by Russ Wooten. So with our two heroes split up because of the betrayal, we get to kind of dive into like the world a little bit more, and we get to see things about like how these two societies aren't as perfect as they would have you believe, and how it's not like these two people are the only two rebels and trying to fight everything. There are other people, which I think is really, really cool. So it's a great setup for the kind of the next arc and the next direction of the book, which I thought was really, really good. So very good stuff. I like Void Rivals. And yeah, I'm probably going to buy the G.I. Joe book. I know. So next up is What's the Furthest Place from Here? Number 15. Written by Tyler Boss and Matthew Rosenberg, letter by Hassan Atsmani Alhao, color by Roman Titov, and colors assistance by Shai Cheeks. I mean, I can't keep telling you this book is good. You guys are going to have to read it at a certain point yourselves. We get to see some characters like come up again that I haven't seen in a while. That like, and we get to see people come together, which is really, really cool. We get to see Meryl again. I know Meryl is a big favorite of mine in Hosways. Just a really interesting book to bring them all together and to have them come to some conclusions. And we get some big revelations as far as like personal relationships go. We get a personal revelation about something is definitely going with Proof Rock that I'm not going to get into. You're going to have to check it out yourself. And just seeing Sid again, and just everybody's back together. Almost everybody's back together. And some people aren't going to make it back. And just the revelation and the reality of the situation they're in, and where do we go from here? You know, so good. So good. This book is building so amazingly, just like these two always do. I mean, they're just two amazingly creative people when they're together. So again, I can't keep telling you to read it. You're just gonna have to read it. So it's so good. Next up is, of course, Radiant Black, number 26A and 26.5. this is going to be written by Kyle Higgins and Joe Clark. We got arts for each different issue, which is Eduardo Ferragato, Ro Angulo, and Becca Carey for A. And for B, as I switch books, it's Marcelo Costa, Rod Fernandez, and Becca Carey. And this tells the first, you know, trial of the Radiance from both perspectives. And I mean, I'll be honest with you, my boy is the one holding it down. I honestly think like that was the right choice. I voted correctly. He definitely seems to be the one that made the better choices, I believe. I think his weakness might be he's a little dependent. You know what I mean? Like, I think that might be part of it. On the rest of the team, but also I think that he's smart. He uses the resources he has, and I think that's really, really dope. So I think Marshall is the right choice. In case I wasn't clear, Marshall was the choice for me. Also, he brings Pink in, and Pink is my favorite. So very, very cool. I love the way they're doing this, telling both sides of the story. I think it's a really interesting way to tell a story. And I just really hope I'm not disappointed by the ending, because I really have strong opinions about who it should be. So, but I'm sure a lot of people do. But yep, that's it for Image for me. So let's talk about our next publisher, which of course in this case is DC, the distinguished competitor themselves. First up, Tales of the Titans number 4 with Beast Boy, the final of the Tales of the Titans run. I thought it was interesting the Beast Boy was the fourth one because they did like three girls right off the bat. I was like, oh, okay, we're going to do all girls. Oh, no, Beast Boy. Like, and this one does kind of come off differently than the others, whereas the others are like almost voluntary missions that they go on to do things. Beast Boys is less voluntary, but it definitely is something that needed to be addressed, which I thought was really cool. Written by Andrew Constant, art by Brandon Stein, color by Lee Luffridge, and letter by Wes Abbott. We get to see that Beast Boy is having issues with his powers. He's having trouble maintaining large forms. We can see this phantom of Deathstroke is just taunting him and everything. But he ends up getting captured by another character. I'm not going to spoil who. It's an obscure character. You guys probably wouldn't know, but just in case. And gets experimented on. And it's basically a really great character development thing for him because he gets to see these visions of people from his past and, you know, gets to rediscover who he is and get his confidence back. I thought it was really well done. And it leads directly into that Titans series that we have right now really, really well, because it does set him up to where he is in that series, especially with that last issue of Titans where he kind of takes the lead. I thought that was really cool. So it's really well timed. But yeah, very good. I really enjoyed Tales of Titans. I thought it was a really great idea. So next up is Wonder Woman number 2. Oh man, this book. This is written by Tom King, art by Daniel Sampier, colored by Tomi Mori, letter by Clayton Cowles. They use a moment from Diana's past to kind of like directly parallel the moment she's having right now with the U.S. government, where she basically takes on a whole platoon of soldiers and tanks and all that stuff on her own. And you get to see Steve Trevor basically telling the bad guy that we've been seeing, listen, this isn't going to work. You know, you don't understand who she is. And he's just like, we'll see. And so we get this just amazing issue of re-solidifying she's a badass and you can't fuck with Wonder Woman. And I really like it. I thought it was so much fun. What a great run this has already been in only 2 issues in, and just a really great snapshot of who Diana is. I think it's just doing such a great job. So very cool. And I'm very curious about this storyline. Speaking of which, my next book is Amazon's Attack number 1. Kind of happening concurrently with this is Amazon's Attack. And this is the story that's going to be about the other Amazons involved in this. Written by Josie Campbell, art by Vasco Georgiev, color by Alex Camaras, and letter by Becca Carey. And this is, of course, Nubia, being the queen of the Amazons, trying her best to, you know, protect the country, protect the Amazons as a whole. And along the way, she runs into Faruka, Ben McDowell, sorry, I forgot their name. And then of course, Yara Flor, my favorite, your favorite, everybody's favorite. And they all get involved. And then of course, who else? If I wasn't happy enough seeing these three amazing women together, then you're gonna put Mary Marvel in there. What are you kidding me? This is the best book ever. I love it. So very, very cool. I'm gonna really enjoy this. And I like these two running concurrently in this storyline because the storyline is really good. So next up is The Flash number 2. This one is so intense. There's so much going on. Like visually, it's a very visually busy book, but in a really good way, I think. Written by Cy Spurrier, art by Mike Diodato Jr., color by Patricia Mulvihill, and letter by Hassan Asmani Alhao. We get to see the Flash come up against the Stillness. And it's this really interesting, like philosophical idea they have. And I thought that was really, really cool. And we get to see the Flash start to unlock something even bigger than what he already could do. He's already so powerful, but we get to see him do something that kind of puts his power into perspective. And it could be a major game changer. This would be really interesting to see what's going to happen from here. I thought it was really cool. It's been a good new era of the Flash. I just once again wish Titans wasn't happening before this, so I didn't know that he is going to live. So yeah, but other than that, really, really cool. After that is Green Arrow 5. I love this book. It's one of my favorite DC books right now. It's one of my favorite solo DC books, definitely. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Sean Exoxy and Phil Hester and Andy Parks. Colored by Romulo Fajardo Jr., letter by Troy Pateri. probably because I'm just a big Green Arrow fan. I've always been a big Green Arrow fan, all the way back to the Longbow Hunters. I just thought the character was so cool. I like him way more than Batman, for instance. And we get to see him kind of up against this challenge of getting back to his family, like this whole thing that the Arrow family has to be separated. You cannot be together. And him, you know, being Ollie and being like, no, fuck you, I'm going to do what I want. Really interesting. I thought it was really, really cool. And just involving the whole family in this conflict is a really great idea and a great storyline. I've been thoroughly enjoying it. And this one does leave off on a pretty big climactic moment that I want to see how they're going to resolve what's going to happen from there. So very cool. Very, very good. And highly recommend. Speaking of Green, Alan Scott Green Lantern number one. I apologize for that. That was lame. Written by Tim Sheridan. Art by Sion Tormey. Color by Matt Herms. Letter by Lucas Gattoni. As part of this new Golden Age era thing they're doing, it's really, really cool. We got an Alan Scott book too. And I really enjoy it. I like how heavy it leans into the struggle he has of being a gay man, especially in the military, basically. Like, it's pretty brutal. And his what he's going through and the decisions he's had to make in the past. And I thought this was a really, really cool storyline. It's nice to see him doing stuff, you know, pre-powers too. I thought that was really cool to see him just be kind of a little badass. And yeah, amazing. I Alan Scott is a really cool character that I don't think we got enough of. And so just getting this further explanation of stuff, I think, is really, really well done. So very good. After that is Power Girl number two. This one is, of course, written by Leah Williams, penciled by Eduardo Pansica, inked by Julio Ferreira, colored by Romeo Favaro Jr., and lettered by Becca Carey. So with PG on the case, she's of course, has to still write for Lois and stuff like that, but she's on the case, and she goes to the Fortress of Solitude in Bermuda, in this case, to study. And I think it's really interesting. I love the return of the bad guy from the first one, where she's like, what are you doing back? And we know because we saw it, but she doesn't quite know yet. And I think it's really fun. I love Power Girl. I mean, I really do. I've always been drawn to DC's ladies. I always think they're very interesting characters. Obviously, I talk about Mary Marvel and Batgirl constantly, but Power Girl is definitely one of them too. And yeah, so very, very cool. I'm really enjoying the run so far. Continuing the super category, let's go to Action Comics 1058. This one was written by Philip Kennedy Johnson, art by Rafa Sandoval, colored by Matt Herms, and letter by Dave Sharp. After Superman finishes off the fight with this imposter Superman that was sent by Blue Earth, and he kind of gets an idea of like what it is and like the fact that it's like draining his power, and you know, he's lost some of his power at this point. He needs a little bit of a backup in order to be a significant threat. And so he does. He gets an upgrade. I'm not going to tell you what, but it's really cool. But yeah, it is only half of this issue's run because the rest of it is other stories. There's a Keenan story that I really, really liked. A couple other things. But really cool. I've just been loving Superman lately, which is not something I've ever been able to say in my life. So very cool. Now we're going to wrap up with some Bat books, starting with Harley Quinn 33. Harley Quinn 33 is written by Tini Howard, art by Sweeney Boo, letters by Steve Wands. So there's someone out in the multiverse killing all the Harleys, and the main Harley has to figure out who it is, and she does team up with some people to do so, and I really like it. I thought it was a lot of fun. It's still the heart of a Harley book, but with this awesome multiversal thing going. I also still love the cartoon world where it's like, oh no, they've been killed. I mean, they'll be back because they're cartoons, but they've been killed. Like, I love that concept. It's very funny to me. So yeah, really interesting. I've been really liking Harley since the beginning of this series, and even through creative teams. So maybe I'm just a Harley Quinn fan at this point. Maybe that's just what it is. So I don't know. After that is Detective Comics 1075. This one, oh man, written by Ram V, art by Francisco Francavilla, and lettered by Ariana Mayer. So Bruce is going through this like traumatic retracing of his steps, which does eventually lead him to the grave of Alfred. And you have this cop that's been following him around, this cop that's like sympathetic to him and has this story about him. And I thought that was really cool. I'm like, I like this character. And then this issue happened and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to tell you what happens, but I'm like, oh man, that's a real bummer. Like I wanted something more of it, but it is what it is, I guess. But really interesting. And this damaged Bruce is, it's really interesting to see this damaged Bruce with the same thing going on in Gotham War with a completely different version of damaged Bruce. So yeah, I want to know what's going to happen. So we'll see. And then finally, Batman, Catwoman, The Gotham War, Red Hood, number 2. I thought this was going to be a one-shot, so I didn't know there was a 2 coming out. I'm glad there is. Written by Matthew Rosenberg, art by Nicholas Zmeja, colored by Matt Rex Locus, and letter by Troy Pateri. I like that Matt is kind of like the go-to Red Hood person. I like when they have a creator that's like, you know, if this character pops up, we give it to that person. I always think that's really cool because it keeps the lore tight and it lets you continue the stories even if they don't have a book. I think that's really interesting. And Matt's amazing. So I think it's really, really good. I think my issue with this crossover still is the fact that I can't get past how horrible what Bruce did to Jason was. Like, it seems horrendous. Again, the biggest Jason Todd fan I know, producer Liz, doesn't know yet, and I have to break this to her, and she's gonna be so mad because she hates Bruce already. And it's just like, it's really interesting, I guess, to see it. And obviously Bruce isn't in his right mind, he's making irrational decisions. I'm not, you know, making excuses for the dude, but obviously there's extenuating circumstances there. But still, Jesus Christ, Bruce, come on. So, but really good book. I really enjoy it. Obviously I love Jason. I love the use of Ravager because I love Rose. Again, DC women. I love DC women for some reason. They just seem to be the most interesting characters in DC. I thought that was really cool. And just kind of like these villains circling around him. I just hope Jason makes it out of one piece. I'm really worried. I trust Matt, though. I think Matt will make sure he's okay in the end, in some way, hopefully. Hopefully he's not listening to this and being like, ugh. So. All right, well, with that said, let's switch to Marvel for our final publisher. My first Marvel book is Dr. Aphra, number 37, written by Alyssa Wong, art by Minku Jung and Jethro Morales, colored by Rochelle Rosenberg, and letter by Jar Carmagna. We are continuing the Dark Droids storyline, and with Aphra now back with Domina Tag, we get to see everything going on in her ship. But the other story, the one with Magna Tolvan sent by Leia to investigate his ship, we get to kind of dive more into what the droids are doing and like the twisted stuff they're pulling off. It's really interesting. I'm not reading any of the other books in the crossover. So I'm kind of just keeping up through summaries and stuff like that. But I mean, I just love Aphra. I have to buy Aphra, but it's been really interesting. It kind of makes me think I might get the trades when they come out. So, but very, very cool, very enjoyable. And yeah, as always, Dr. Aphra is the best Star Wars book there is. So. Next up, Marvel Unleashed number 3, written by Kyle Starks, art by Juan Gideon, color by Yen Nitro, letter by Joe Caramanga. So the pet Avengers are in hell, and they're being overwhelmed by a creature of fear. And who can save the day but D-Dog, because D-Dog has no fear, although they say it in a much sadder way that is just really, really sad and I don't like to think about. But yeah, he ends up saving the day and helping them snap out of it. We also get to see Chewie display his power for the first time in this series, which is really fun. But it does lead to Blackheart opening a portal to Earth and ready to send his demonic legions through. And only our pet Avengers can save the day, so we'll see in the next issue. After that is Immortal Thor, number 3. This book is good, guys. Like, there hasn't been a bad Thor run in a very long time, so it's not like shocking to say this is a good Thor comic, but holy crap, this run's been really good, and it's only 3 issues deep. Yeah, let's get started. So let's talk about the let's talk about the creative team first. Actually, let's get me out of the way. Written by Al Ewing, art by Martin Kokolo, color by Matt Wilson, letter by Joe Sabino. So Thor has to do the Odin sleep, and in the last issue he'd summoned Loki forward to help, and Loki made him make that very unusual promise. Do you trust me even as your enemy? And I just love the angle this took, because it's like Loki knows what needs to be done. Like, he knows what needs to be done, and he knows Thor's not going to like it, but he knows what needs to happen, so he does it. And that's just Thor. I mean, that's Loki in a nutshell to me. I really like it. Very cool. Very interesting story. I thought it was really cool, and a interesting dynamic to add to Thor is what I'll say. I'm not going to spoil it too much, but yeah, check it out. I will say also there's a tease of a guest star coming in the next issue, and I am here for that. Let me just throw that out there. So next up, Captain America number 2, written by J. Michael Straczynski, art by Jesus Saiz, color by Matt Hollingsworth, and letter by Joe Caramagna. We get to, of course, keep flashing back with Cap back to when he was younger, before he had his powers, dealing with this group of Nazis in his neighborhood, which is really interesting. And then flashing forward to now, where he's, you know, trying to keep this building that he bought, you know, in ship shape, where he's trying to like balance being a superhero with being a landlord, basically. And, you know, he has friends who are just like, hey, will you help me? And it's gotta be exhausting being Captain America, because your friends know, I mean, Cap's not going to say no, you know, like, so yeah, that's gotta be kind of an exhausting part of it. But I really like this run so far. It's been very good. I'm a big J. Michael Straczynski fan, and I was kind of worried because I really, really loved that last run. I felt it was way too short. But this one's been off pretty good, so we will see how we go from here. After that is the brand new Captain Marvel number 1, written by Alyssa Wong, art by John Bazaldúa, color by Brian Valenza, and letter by Ariana Mayer. A new era for Carol, and I really like it. I like the reintroduction of the Nega Bands to the Captain Marvel mythos, specifically this Captain Marvel, I should say, and this introduction of a new character, a new Rick Jones, if you will, that is unique and interesting and fun, and I think will add an awesome dynamic to the story. A cool villain. There's a lot going on in this book that's really, really well done. And yeah, I think one of the things with Carol is you have to put Carol in peril, in convincing peril. That's the trick to a Carol story. And I think this book did a good job. I don't think she's going to lose or anything, but I could think she could. So very, very cool. Really enjoyed it. 2 thumbs up. I am subbed. Let's go. Next up, and to my biggest surprise, my book of the week, Hallows Eve, The Big Night. Written by Erica Schultz, art by Michael Dowling, color by Brian Reaver, and letter by Joe Caramagna. And yes, part of this is the fact that it's Halloween week, and this is a fun, spooky book. But I actually really, really like Hallows Eve. Like, one of my favorite new characters they've introduced. I love the design. I think she's very cute. I think she's very hot, I should say. Very cool. I like the real anti-hero-ness of it. Like, real, actually anti-hero. Like, not like, oh, I'm a mostly good guy, but you might not like my methods. No, she's kind of like chaotic neutral, if you will, if you speak D&D. And to see her find these new masks in the bag, and it's like these heroes, and to see her try on being a hero was really fun. I thought that was an interesting idea and something I thoroughly enjoyed. So more of this. I need more Hallows Eve. There was a tease at the end as where we can't tell you when she's coming back. She should be back very soon. So I'm very excited about that. And more about her story a little bit later. But next up is Amazing Spider-Man number 36, written by Zeb Wells, drawn by Ed McGuinness, inked by Mark Farmer, color by Marcio Maniz, and letter by Joe Caramagna. After the really dark story of the last few issues with Norman's sins and everything like that, and Peter going out of control, it was very fun to get this story, which is the return of the one, the only, our boy, Rick Rap, the demon version of Spider-Man. I love Rick Rap. I adore him. He needs to be in the next Spider-Verse movie. I'm very excited that they brought him back, because that means they care. So let's go. Rick Rap is fighting his own little Sinister Six and destroying the world. And destroying the city, and basically Spider-Man's brought in to help control it, and it's fun. It's a lot more fun. you know, than that last story, which was really good, but it's kind of drug me down a little bit. So nice to have a little bit of levity here, which is really, really cool. And finally, let's talk Krakoa books. And we got them all this week. X-Men and Days of Future Past number 4, or Doomsday number 4, I should say. This one is written by Mark Guggenheim, penciled by Manuel Garcia, inked by Cam Smith, colored by Ian Nitro, and lettered by Clayton Cowles. Not going to touch too much on it. It does bring us up to the actual story of Days of Future Past and gets us set at that right point, and then kind of like teases the idea of like the Marvel multiverse, whereas even if you go back and change the past, that timeline continues. We figured that out at Age of Apocalypse. And so it kind of sets up like, now what for them, which I thought was really cool. So after that is Dark X-Men number 3. This one is written by Steve Fox, art by Jonas Scharf, color by Frank Martin, letter by Clayton Cowles. We get to see the Dark X-Men go on a mission and does not go great. And in the end, it's basically like they don't accomplish their mission. They're trying to save this young mutant and they're just not. They're not the diplomatic people to pull that off, basically. Faint nearly does, but everybody else kind of fucks everything up. So, but I did mention during the Hollow Zeef review that we would get a tease of her story a little bit later. And that is that it does look like the next time that the enemies are going to be trying to corrupt the whole thing, it might be with Chasm, who is in the limbo embassy. So maybe we'll get her there. Maybe we'll get Hollow Zeef there. We'll see. I don't know. So after that is Realm of X number 3. I have loved Realm of X. It's been so much fun. And this issue doubly so. Written by Torin Groenbeck, art by Bruno Oliveira, colored by Rain Bredo, and letter by Clayton Cowles. The art in this one by Bruno is so much fun. It's got this like playful, but it's still definably like fun and fantasy style. Specifically the way Curse is drawn is really, really cool. But yeah, basically Eliana catches up to Curse, finally finds her, and basically says, "We've been looking for you." Curse doesn't necessarily believe her. And now there's going to be like this struggle between, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. And it does seem like Curse in the end has turned off the blockage of magic, and maybe Eliana has her magic back just in time. So we'll see. After that is Alpha Flight number 3. I've been loving this too as well. All these X books have been really, really great during this period. Written by Ed Brisson, art by Scott Godlewski, color by Matt Meehan, letter by Travis Lanham. This one, of course, is about the false Alpha Flight hunting down mutants, but really they're saving them and pretending to be so. And we do get the revelation of who Nemesis is, which it is Heather. I will just throw that out there. It is Heather. And she seems to be mortally wounded at the end of the issue. What's going to happen? I don't know, but I've really liked this book. It's been so much fun. And I would like to see an ongoing Alpha Flight. I just want to throw it out in the universe, just saying. So, next up, Jean Grey 3. This one, I love how this one is tying into, I think it's Immortal X-Men, I think. Written by Louise Simonson, art by Bernard Chang, colored by Marcelo Maiolo, and letter by Ariana Mayer. With Jean is in the white hot room and reliving her life and thinking about moments she, you know, could have changed things. Maybe things could be different. She goes back to her, you know, conflicts with Maddie, with Limbo. And I thought that was really, really cool. I really like it. And we're also teasing again, kind of like her awakening in the white hot room, maybe because she hears the other mutants talking about her and about possibly reading her mind. I thought that was really, really cool. I've really enjoyed this. I also love the fact that there's kind of a tease of all the different variants of Jean at the end, and we get to see Age of Apocalypse Jean, which is one of my favorite designs. So, yes, thank you. Next up, Miss Marvel, the New Mutant, number 3. Yes, there are more X-Men books to go. We have so many this week. Written by Iman Vellani and Sabia Perzada, art by Carlos Gomez and Adam Gorham, color by Eric Arcinega, and letter by Joe Caramagna. Kamala is sleeping and fighting her dreams, basically. She's coming face to face with her fanfic creations and just trying her best. Meanwhile, Orcus is trying to track her through her dreams. And the only thing standing between her and being caught is Bruno. And Bruno is the best. Bruno is the best character of all the characters, and I love him so much. So I love this book. It's been really, really great. I love Miss Marvel. Like, I think it's just an amazing character, and this exploration of her being a mutant has been fun. But unfortunately, this is the next to last issue, which is really sad. So I want more. Just throw that out there. After that is Uncanny Spider-Man number 2. This book, man. Kurt, okay, I'll be flat out honest. If we're talking major X-Men, Kurt's my favorite. Like, the ones that people know. I have some real dark horse picks, but every major X-Men fan does. But written by Cy Spurrier, art by Lee Garbett, color by Matt Meehan, letter by Joe Caramagna. Kurt's amazing. In this issue, he's, you know, dodging Orcus, but he's also fighting the Rhino. And he has this one Orcus, like, hot Orcus chick who's hunting him down. And what does Kurt do? He flirts his way to victory. And it's the most Kurt thing I can think of. I love it. He's the best. Like, he's the best character. I love him so much. So, very cool. I'm really enjoying it. I want this to continue as well. I want all these books to continue. Like, God, Marvel takes so much of my money as it is, but yeah. Final book is Uncanny Avengers number 3, written by Gary Duggan. Art by Emilio Lysso, color by Maury Halliwell, and letter by Travis Lanham. In this one, we get to see basically this new group of Avengers, this new Unity Squad with Captain America, and him kind of giving them his seal of approval in front of a bunch of people, which I thought was really, really well done. And we get to see them kind of doing different things, including we get to see Quicksilver and Monet running into to Fenris, which is really, really cool. So they're able to take them down. And then we get some, like, flirtation. And I don't hate Pietro and Monet together. They're both absolute douchebags, and I think that's great. I know people have strong opinions about this, but I love it. I actually kind of love it. So, really cool. We also get the tease that Ben Urich wants to get a hold of the one human that survived so they can get the witness of the Hellfire Gala. And, of course, it's the least reparable human that could possibly be, the Kingpin. So, yeah, that's unfortunate. But really good. So many X-books. I'm exhausted, guys. But really, really good, every single one of them. Or I wouldn't be reading them, so... Those are the issues that we had this week. Make sure to check us out on Twitter. You can find me at WHI Podcast Keith. You can find producer Liz at WHI Podcast Liz. You can find Josue at Josue Reads Josue. You can find the show at WHI Podcast. Make sure to follow us on there, because you can find, that's the best way to know what's going on with us, including whenever a new episode drops. You'll get a link, a list of every issue we reviewed, as well as timestamps to each publisher. Follow our other show at Jukebox Vertigo on Jukebox Vertigo on Twitter. That is our musical playlist building show, which should be returning very soon. So make sure to follow us on there so you'll get the announcement of when it does. Also, follow Josue at Josue Plays Josue on Twitch. On there, you can watch him play games. Whenever he's off hiatus, he'll be back. He'll play some Mario Kart and everything else, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's always fun to hang out with Josue on Twitch. Finally, make sure to join Certain POV's Discord. Certain POV is the channel... it's our network, excuse me, for Jukebox Vertigo. You can find them at Certain POV Media on Twitter, excuse me. You can also find them at certainpov.com, and there's a link to the Discord. Jump in there. We talk about movies. We talk about books, comics, video games. We talk about a lot of video games. We talk about a little bit of everything. Everybody's really welcoming and friendly, and it's a lot of fun. So I highly recommend joining that Discord. Once again, at certainpov.com or on Twitter at certainpovmedia. All right, and don't forget to backboard and box your new treasures, and we'll see you next week with a new batch of beautiful books. Stay safe and read more comics.
Are you tired of watching your beloved characters being tortured by careless authors?
Are you sick of feeling like they could have swapped out all of the painful action and the plot would remain untouched? Subscribe to Books That Burn, the fortnightly book review podcast focusing on fictional depictions of trauma.
We assume that the characters' reactions are reasonable and focus on how badly or well they were served by their authors.
Join us for our minor character spotlights, main character discussions, and favorite non-traumatic things in the dark books we love.
Find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts.